I'm sure you will agree with me that our hearts can easily become troubled in life and our minds really worried over things. When we face situations that overwhelm us, then we feel distressed and can become quite anxious. And it's difficult to keep perspective in life when that happens to us. It's also very difficult to function when it feels to us like chaos and trouble is ruling, and when our lives are turned upside down. Think of people who are in a boat in the middle of the ocean in a storm. I don't know about you, but that to me is one of the most frightening thoughts. So the boat is tossed around by the waves and is not anchored to anything that is stable, that's securing the boat. And it feels like the boat can capsize any moment and you'll drown. Now, there will be no peace in that boat, but only anxious and scared people, probably. Our circumstances can feel like that. I don't know if you've experienced that. Outward circumstances can do that to us. When unexpected things happen, or things happen to us which we dreaded will happen, when a situation seems to be dark and despairing, we can easily become anxious and fear the worst. Inward circumstances can even be worse. On the outside, we may be appearing to hold everything together, but inwardly, we may be falling apart. Overcome with fear and despair, and a sense of hopelessness. And when feelings of guilt and regret war inside of us, it can feel like we are drowning. It's a difficult place to be. I remember years ago, I was on a flight in the middle of the night in stormy weather. Now, I had flown many times before, but on that night, there was a lot of turbulence. Heavy rain and flashes of lightning. You could see it through the windows of the aircraft. The aircraft was shaking, even dropping during those times of turbulence. A number of times, it literally felt like we were going to fall to the ground. You could hear people crying, even some people praying. I was certainly praying. There was no peace on board of that plane. Only panic and pandemonium. As many of you know, a number of us in our church are going through very challenging circumstances at the moment. We have some life-threatening diseases in our church. We have some great personal problems and family challenges, financial challenges. We have some challenging relationships. We also have some touch-and-go faith battles that are going on in our church. And we pray. How we pray for God's deliverance from our troubles. That's what we want. But whether we go on to experience good times or whether we suffer loss, regardless, the one thing we need is the peace of God. Won't you agree with that? We need the peace of God. We need the peace of God to face our challenges and our problems. Why? Well, Paul says, it will guard our hearts and our minds. Have a look at Philippians 4 and verse 7. Paul says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There is such a thing as a peace that surpasses understanding. It is able to fight every fear. Paul says it can guard our hearts and it can protect our minds like a mighty army that protects a city and all those who live in the city. That peace is the peace of God. It's important to realize that it is not a peace that is found in circumstances. And man cannot give us this peace. It only comes from God and it transcends understanding. That's what Paul says. About 400 years ago, there was a theologian and a pastor by the name of Matthew Henry. And he described the peace of God like this. God's peace accomplishes more than any human reasoning can achieve. And it is completely beyond all power of human comprehension. Human reasoning results in continued doubt and anxiety. And it cannot find its way out of a dilemma. God's peace, by contrast, is effective in removing all disquietude. Did you hear that? God's peace is completely beyond human understanding. And it is effective to remove all anxiety. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 3 verse 20. God is able to do abundantly above all we can think or ask, according to his power that is at work in us. God's peace that he gives, we may think is totally unattainable, but we can know his peace. Well, I want to know God's peace at all times, and I'm sure you want to know God's peace. But how can we have God's peace? Our text tells us, have a look at the end of verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It is in Jesus Christ that we have the peace of God. That's what Paul says. The peace of God that will guard your hearts and minds is in Christ Jesus. It's only through union with Jesus Christ that we can know the peace of God. We can know peace with God, and we can know the peace of God. Well, there are two Bible verses that help us see the point. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no peace of God and there can be no peace with God without justification and the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, which a person receives by faith. Somebody may be conscious that they are guilty before God and they will never know the peace of God until they are conscious equally of being forgiven. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's when we can receive the peace of God. That gives us inward peace. The peace that we are no longer the enemies of God, and the peace that we are reconciled with God. But then Jesus says to his followers, and Bill used this text verse as a call to worship, and we looked at it in the prayer meeting as well, John 14, 27. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not the peace that the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Do not be afraid. My peace I give to you. And it is a peace that's not found in this world. It's outside of this world. And it is a peace that is not based on good circumstances. And it is a peace that remains effective even in bad circumstances. And Jesus adds, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So, dear believer, you are in Christ Jesus. As you reach out to Him, give yourself to Him. Walk with Him in your darkest moments. Then He personally ministers to you. He gives you His powerful peace for you. Christ is your best friend. And He helps you when you need Him. He makes you like Himself. He helps you to handle your trials with patience, to walk steadfastly, trusting in your God even when your situation seems impossible. Jesus Christ is with you as He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. Do you remember what happened to them? They refused to worship the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had raised up. And for that they were thrown into a fiery furnace. But Jesus was with them in the fire. And they were not harmed and had nothing to fear. That is what Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 verse 14. Jesus Himself is your peace. That's why we don't rely so much on our circumstances. Neither on human intellect or on other people. But we do and we should rely on Jesus Christ and God Himself, who is our peace. And we cannot possess this peace until we possess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that is exactly what we need. When we are overwhelmed with our circumstances, and the peace of God that will guard our hearts and our minds, that is what we need when our hearts have become troubled and our minds are anxious over what's going on in our lives. God knows that the peace that the world can offer us can at best be based on good circumstances. The world can take away troubles through medical care and superannuation funds and insurance, legal help, the police. Yes, the world can give us some form of peace of mind, but it can't maintain peace. And neither can it guarantee peace. But the peace of God, Paul says, surpasses understanding. Human understanding cannot produce it or grasp it. It is not irrational, but it is supernatural. It is not human peace, but God's peace that's only available in Jesus Christ. It is a heart and a mind guarding peace in the midst of tribulation. It is a peace that makes you say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that He will work things out one way or another. The prophet Habakkuk is a good example of somebody who came to know the peace of God. He lived in a far from perfect world in the 6th century BC. We studied him about 3 years ago. The majority of the people in his day were unbelievers in God. And they were seeing and experiencing the fruit of moral and spiritual decline over generations. Society had become violent and corrupt, unjust, immoral, idolatrous, disregarding the will of God and resistant to God's call to turn back to Him. As a result, Habakkuk knew that God's people would be invaded by the Babylonians, and they would bring great distress and devastation on the people of God. And he would live to see it in his own lifetime. He also knew that God will bring judgment on the enemies of God and deliverance for his own people. Now, Judah was an agricultural economy, and they derived their food from the crops they had, such as figs and grapes and olives, and produce from the field, and also the livestock that they had, flocks, sheep, goats, and herds of cattle. But Habakkuk recognized that there would be great loss coming. The ravages of war would leave the land desolate. None of these necessities which they had, they would lose. Or rather, they would retain. Habakkuk was about to lose his house, his land, family, friends. People were carted off to Babylon. But God gave him peace. He trusted in the Lord. He says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places." Even though these sources that would support natural life might fail, Habakkuk knew that ultimately his existence and his well-being depended upon the giver of these sources, which is God Himself. So if all other things are gone, God is not gone. So many people today rejoice in God if the necessities of life are given to them in abundance. Others rejoice in those things regardless, but they never rejoice in God. But for Habakkuk, God Himself was his main source of joy. And therefore, he trusted in Him. That's what it is like to be a Christian. We have God as our help. Christians know what they have in God. And when in time of crisis, they turn to God. God is their strength, and Christ strengthens them. He ministers to them very personally. And they know that God will provide what is needed. So this understanding surpassing peace is what we want, isn't it? And that's what we need. But what is Paul's counsel in terms of how we can access the peace of God in Christ? First, if we want to know the peace of God, he says then we should pray. Verse 6. Have a look at verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." The verse is saying, The way to be anxious about nothing is to be praying about everything. Pray about everything. Pray about what's going on in your life. Pray about what is going on in your mind. Pray about everything that's written in God's Word. Talk to God about it. Let God know our needs and our desires and our requests. Bring them to Him in prayer. Let's tell our God of our sins and our sorrows, our fears and our frailties, our cares and our challenges. In every situation, let us pray. Isn't it amazing that we cannot wear God out with all our praying? And He never sleeps nor slumbers. He always listens to our prayers. And let us remember to thank God whilst we pray. Thank Him for everything that you can think of. Things great and things small. The help of God in the past and the hope that we have in God for the future. Let your requests, all of them, the Apostle Paul says, be made known to God. And remember one thing. Let us remember one thing. That we have access in the presence of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes all the difference in the world. In Jesus, we have peace with God. In Jesus, we have access to the grace of God. In Jesus, all the promises of God are yes and amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's the title of a very old Christian hymn. I'm sure many of you know that song. Let me quote some of the words in it to us. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Savior is still our refuge. In His arms, He'll take and shield you. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Through prayer we have access to the peace of God that is found in Jesus Christ. And the peace of God will keep us from sinning and sinking under our troubles. And it will keep us calm and at peace. Secondly, if we want to know the peace of God, if you want to know the peace of God, we are told in verse 5, we must have good attitudes towards others. Paul says there in verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. That means that we should remain humble, patient, truthful, gracious to everyone. That includes people that we don't like. And it includes if we are treated in ways we don't like. That was the way of the Apostle Paul. And he emulated Jesus Christ. After all, Jesus said, in Matthew, or rather Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, but I say to everybody who hear this, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. Be reasonable to everyone. That really means to be Christ-like. Why? Because our text says the Lord is at hand. God is near to those who trust in Him. He never leaves nor forsakes them. But then also, The Lord's return is near to bring justice to pass and to free us ultimately from all our trials so we can enter into God's rest. That is what is awaiting the people of God. Then there will be only peace, and we won't have to put up with our troubles any longer. But to be fair, we will save ourselves a lot of trouble if we are just Christ-like as we live this life. And the troubles that we do know when we are Christ-like will be met with the peace of God that comes from Christ. In the third place, if we want to experience the peace of God, we must make God our joy and place all our joy in Him. That's what Paul says in verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Did you hear that phrase, "in the Lord"? That means not in ourselves, neither in our circumstances, or in material or temporal things. Because ultimately, these things won't last, and they will fail us. We should rejoice in the things in this world with caution and in moderation. But we can rejoice in the Lord without ever any possibility of excess, because He is eternal and He is faithful. That's why Paul adds, "And again I will say, rejoice, rejoice, and rejoice again." Paul himself was a joyful Christian, even though he was in prison in Rome when he wrote this letter. There was another time that he was in prison, and it was in the city of Philippi. That's how this very church that he wrote to came into being, when Paul and Silas, his companion, was in prison, and at midnight they were singing praises to God. What are the chances that we will experience more of the peace of God if we rejoice in God more? What do you reckon? Well, let me mention some of the things that we can rejoice over that comes from this letter of Paul to the Philippians. Well, we can rejoice in our faith in God and rejoice in our citizenship in heaven. These things are secure anchors. We can also rejoice in the good work of God's salvation, which He has started and He will bring to completion. We can rejoice in that. We can rejoice that our reason for living is Christ, and when we die, it will be gain for us. We can also rejoice that God works in us to will and to do the things that pleases Him. But that's not all. We can rejoice that our love will increase more, and our discernment will grow, and we will be filled with the fruits of righteousness, and that we will also be kept blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus. We can also rejoice that God will provide for all our needs according to His great riches in glory. We can also rejoice that we don't need to be anxious about anything, and that the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. There are so many things that we can rejoice over. And as we rejoice over them, we'll probably experience more of God's peace. But let's close with a few points of application. We have a number of significant challenges going on in the life of our church. The Lord knows all that you personally are going through. We pray that God will deliver us from all our troubles. That's what we want. God's word says in Psalm 50 verse 15, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. We need God's deliverance. We pray for God's deliverance. God says He will deliver us. One way or another, He will deliver us. David's experience was that God delivered him out of all his troubles, and he had so many. At one point, he said this in Psalm 69, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at the acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. He knew God will answer him. God will answer us. We need God's deliverance, but we also need God's peace. But remember, your peace is not dependent on your outward circumstances, but on your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is in Him and through Him and with Him that you will be in peace in life and in peace in death, having your heart and your mind guarded, because through Him God orders everything in your life for your good, and He arranges them for your eternal well-being. So stick with Jesus. Stay close with Him. And you will have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Because He is your peace. But lastly, maybe there is somebody who has never experienced the peace of God before. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. Let me tell you this. There is no peace for you. No peace of God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. No peace. Remember our text. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the thing. That Jesus Christ is the anchor of man's soul and the giver of everlasting peace with God. That's how it is. So all you have to do is to come to Him in faith. Because He is the Prince of Peace. And will give you peace.